fellow Freedom fans, back here again with Craig Hewlett. Craig Hewlett, C-R-A-I-G-B, that's a B, Hewlett, H-U-L-E-T.com. He's got a book, Hydra of Change. I will tell you, this stuff that I've read, I've just only read a few articles that he's written, actually several years ago, and it is on target for many things. Some of these things were forecasting what was to come, and of course now, especially in the last year and year and a half, we've seen these things happen, and some of these things forecast in 2003 by Mr. Hewlett are happening as we watch daily. It's happening before our very eyes. And thank you for being here, Craig. And before we went to the break, you talked about what you called in your article the New Berlin Wall, where you see, if you anybody looks on the map, that Iran has essentially been encircled, that you said in your articles that Iran has always been the target, that Iraq was not the primary mission. It's always been Iran. And so obviously there's things that we're going to be able to say are going to come in the future. Now, one of the things that I put down in a question about what's going on right now is when I look at that map myself, before you and I ever had a conversation or before I ever read one of your articles, you literally do have what you call the New Berlin Wall, where Iran is surrounded. You've got all those areas and into the Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and a few other areas, and without listing all the stands, that it really looks like the American power is just concentrating there. And I was always wondering, how come the nearby neighbors, India, China, Russia, for to be named, at least, are not in up in arms about what they see surrounding that little sphere of the world, part of the sphere. So why has not this really elicited some responses from some of the other major states?
Well, those are the kinds of things, and you're correct. Everything I write, there has an element of forecast to it. Otherwise, I couldn't service my client base. I have to be correct on what's going to happen. I'm not a reporter repeating what has already happened. The fact that Iran has always been the target long before 9/11 should be clear to anyone. And if you look at the map, you'll discover that everything north of Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, all of these countries that have huge deposits of natural gas and oil, this is the new frontier for the energy field. Kazakhstan has more natural gas than any place on Earth, but they're landlocked, and there's no way to transport this product across land by trucks or trailers or by air. It has to be done through pipelines if it's going to be done in any efficient way. So, you know, we've long had a relationship with the Taliban as our allies. Iraq was our ally in its war against Iran. So I would say this, why haven't these countries formed an alliance? The answer is yet. Why have they not yet? It could take a long time for alliances to form in the face of a colossus, an empire as large as a U.S. corporate empire. And by the way, corporatism translated into English comes from the word corporazione, the Italian term for actual national socialist fascism. Corporazione is the term. When you translate corporazione, which is the defining element of Mussolini's fascism, it translates directly into corporatism. And what that means is very simply is the business environment, a for-profit business environment, is in lockstep with the governing powers, and indeed they're actually the same people by name. Paulson at the Treasury Department was one of the big winners when Bush W. was leaving office for bailout money, Goldman Sachs. Now he's in the Treasury Department instituting policies that will further benefit the banking industry. Now, this is no conspiracy. It's wide open. Anybody that bothers to do a background check on any of these people, you'll find that there's an inextricable tie from the business world, banking, oil, pharmaceuticals, with the very names of the people that are in power making policy. Now, this is where, if you present these facts with detail, you'll be attacked as a conspiracy theorist, mostly from the progressive left, because the progressive left knows better than to attack names. They're not willing to attack a Paulson or, of course, attack George Bush W., George W., because he's the president of the United States and he holds no real power. and it's okay to criticize the president. But have they ever really criticized, for instance, Richard Armitage? Absolutely not. They say it's institutional corruption. They say the Pentagon is corrupt as an institution, not the individuals that run it, which, by any standard, is ludicrous. Every war is fought over the basis of the opinions of the leaders at that time in history, who our leaders are. The difference is the American people fail to understand who our real leaders are. In whose interest are these wars fought? In whose interest is this bailout money being given to the banking system? When you look at in whose interest, it's no different than a cop uncovering a criminal conspiracy of drug trafficking. Follow the money trail. You'll find out who's behind it, because the money goes to those individuals that are behind everything. It's always about money.
And one of the things that you cited an organization that was very easy to find on the internet, United States Azerbaijan Chamber of Commerce. And look at the who's who in that. I mean, when you look at who is on the board of directors, they are guys who we've seen in on staffs with presidents.
That's correct.
And so they're out getting and gathering together a network of business people who are going to be basically capitalizing on what's going on, or opportunities to essentially what I would think would be exploit Azerbaijan and its neighboring countries, specifically over this oil industry.
Well, Azerbaijan is strategically located south of the Caspian Sea, and during the Soviet era, we were divided over different things. We would never have gone into Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq while the Soviet Union was still up and running, because that would then become an east-west context. So we never wanted to contest the Soviets over their extended borders, shall we say. They're satellite nations. But once the Soviet Union fell, that opened up a whole new world for Western corporate interests. And they, of course, while Clinton was in office, they went straight to Azerbaijan, because that was the place where everything turned. It's like anywhere else, it's the center, it's the hub of all activity for the last 35 years of oil and gas interest, north, south, east, and west. Well, Azerbaijan being the center and an American ally and interested in our corporate interests, Henry Kissinger, John Sununu, Richard Armitage, James A. Baker III, their legal counsel is James A. Baker IV, Baker Botts. So, you know, to suggest that I'm even remotely off base, that people like Condoleezza Rice, she was a manager for Exxon for 10 years. But we don't mention that in her resume when she becomes Secretary of State or National Security Advisor. We just overlook the fact that her history is tied to Richard Armitage, oil interests in the Middle East, and a specific oil company with interests there. So, you know, there is no conspiracy. There doesn't have to be. The American people have given up on politics in the sense that we're not vigilant enough any longer. And some of us are simply not well-educated enough now to do this kind of research and understand the implications. As you've already pointed out, it requires an enormous amount of research and analysis. It's a full-time job. You can't just pick up a couple of books and go, ah, I get it, it's about oil.
Yeah.
Saying anything when you say it's about oil. In fact, what you're doing is you're dismissing the subject by saying that, because you don't want to look any further and answer the question, how so? Why is it about oil? How do you know that?
One thing is, this might be a segue into something that's connected with this. And before I segue, I want to give a plug to Craig B. Hewlett. That's who I'm talking to today, Craig B. Hewlett. And I'm saying his full name because that's the way his website reads, craigbhewlett.com, the Hydra of Change. And also, I'll just let you know that Craig is a consultant, essentially. I'm not going to try to put your label on you for you. I'll give you an opportunity to tell folks about that when we come back again. But I just want you guys to tune in. Check it out, craigbhewlett.com, the Hydra of Carnage. I keep saying change, the Hydra of Carnage. Hydra of Carnage. I'm going to mess up again. I'm going to give somebody the wrong coin phrase there. But one of the things, as I'm looking at what you talk about, we see the power and control. In the political realm, the current in-flight entertainment that we've got is the medical martial law that's happening, sweeping the country. And, of course, under the radar is student loan martial law. And just a year ago, it was take over the auto industry by fiat, so to speak, to give it to fiat. And all that in-flight entertainment, obviously all that stuff's connected. It's got to be just because of the level of power that we're looking at there. But I'm confused about why this pro-hydrocarbon fuel industry that we're talking about right now is not putting up a fight against the anti-CO2 frenzy.
Well, they are. Actually, the oil industry and their foundations are some of the very foundations and institutions that fund the progressive left and the environmentalist causes. I know that sounds odd.
Exactly, and that's what's confusing me. Because, I mean, I'm just a simple objective observer, and I can see it, but I can't figure out for the life of me how that makes sense, except for a control and power grab. That's the only thing I can think.
It's actually almost too simple for most people to grasp, because you think, you know, why would Ford Motor Company and Exxon and Mobil, why would they finance the very organizations and groups that are trying to put restrictions on them? Well, it's quite simple when you think about it from a corporate standpoint. You're in control of the debate, both sides. As you have a system set up whereby you oppose any restrictions on ExxonMobil, you also are presenting the restrictions from the advocate side. So you're in control of both arguments. And the fact is, ExxonMobil can afford whatever restrictions come about on their corporations, but what it has simultaneously does at the same time is it puts out of business smaller corporations that cannot afford to abide by those restrictions.
Well, that's true. And a lot of small businesses are complaining about some upfront fees and costs that are imposed on them because of some of these regulations. I see what you're saying there. It really does cut out the little guy from operating. The other thing that occurred to me, I've noticed that 20, 25 years ago, the big hoopla in with that progressive group you're talking about was anti-nuclear power. And now it seems that we've got, it's just basically carte blanche. What would you like to do, nuclear power industry? So I would think that folks that are investing or who are vested in that industry are really loving this right now.
Well, there's never really a legitimate opposition to anything that matters. I use that term now quite a bit, both in lectures and in my books and in papers I write. You concern yourself with the things that matter. I don't concern myself at any level with the things that don't matter. And I'm not saying they don't matter to you as an individual. Gun rights, abortion rights, the right to life, these are all important things for the individual. What I'm referring to is the things that matter to the corporate regime and the governing bodies internationally, and the things that don't matter to them. You and I, unfortunately, focus on the things that don't matter. They don't care if, you know, there's laws prohibiting a heterosexual from beating up a gay man. They don't care if there's laws for or against abortion. It's uninteresting to them. That's what they have us fighting over. Those are the hot button items in the media to sell newspapers and airtime and get the debate going, and hopefully drags the people out to vote on single issues. While the things that matter, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Azerbaijan, who's on the board of Azerbaijan's nationalized oil industry, the very same men we were talking about that are in the Chamber of Commerce, American Western leaders.
That's what matters. Hey, folks, we're going to come back with this. I'm going to challenge Craig B. Hewitt on something he's written.